Mark chapter 14, once you get that, put your finger there and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And while you're turning that, I've studied up recently, as I do every year. It's debated when it started. Some say in the north, some say in the south. But it's supposed to be a time for honoring the war dead, Memorial Day. Most people have forgotten that. It's the time to cook out. It's the time to go to the beach, go to the mountains. Because most of the generation living today knows nothing about what has been sacrificed. So I wanted to remind those of you who are here who may have forgotten or just didn't know. Here's the American war deaths. In the Revolutionary War, 4,435. In the War of 1812, 2,260. In the Mexican-American War, 13,283. In the War between the States, there was nothing civil about it. You can tell by the number of deaths, 618,000 people. In the Spanish-American War, 2,446. In World War I, 116,516 deaths. In World War II, 405,399 deaths. In the Korean War, 36,574 dead. In the Vietnam War, 58,220 died. In the Gulf War, 383. In Iraq, the Afghan War combined, 6,607, not counting police, firefighters, first responders on 911. Should we not remember these? Shouldn't we teach our children that it's not about the beach and it's not about the mountains, it's not about cooking out? It's not a day off of work. It's a time we stop to remember who paid for what we have. They died. No greater love hath any man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. It makes me sad the day that we live in. It really does. Now that's not to mention Hebrews chapter 11. You need to go back and read Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the Hall of Faith. Of all those who died for what we believe. The faith in Christ. All those through the Bible who gave their lives. The Bible says some lived in caves and some were sewn into animal skins and cast to the lion. Some were crucified. Some were beheaded. Multiple millions of people have died for the Christian faith. And we can't be faithful to church. And we can't have home Bible study and prayer. And we can't be a witness on the job. Sad day we're in. Sad day. I think we'll remember those war dead. And I think we'll honor them by living for freedom and not selling out. I think we'll honor the dead of the faith and honor them by living for Christ and being faithful to the church and the work of the church that He died for. I think we'll honor them that way. The greatest honor you'll have to anyone is to live for them. Amen. Amen. Now, Mark chapter 14, speaking of memorials. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of that ointment made? Well, it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And by the way, the one that said that was a liar and a hypocrite, Judas. They always talk like that. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But ye have not, but me ye have not always." She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her.
Amen.
I want to talk about a real memorial. We know what he did. We know what she did. And that day, she gave her all. She gave her best. Very expensive, very valuable, very rare thing she did. And it's still a rare thing when people give their all and their best to Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." What our patriots did was a wonderful thing. We'll always remember it. We'll remind every year our children what has paid for their freedom. And then we'll remember people like this woman that give their all for Christ. But you know, if we don't remember him and what he did, it's all in vain. And by the way, let me remind you of this. There's never been a real Christian nation outside of America. Never. The Jewish nation never was a Christian nation. It's where it started. And there have been nations all through the world that have accepted Christ, and churches were built. But if you've ever been to the Near East, you can see those places like Turkey, who now the churches are museums. They're not church anymore. And other religions run those places. And look, if it had not been for what Jesus did, we could be free mentally, emotionally. We could be free physically and not be free forever and ever and ever. There's a lot of free people down at Myrtle Beach today sinning all day long. There's a lot of free people up at the mountain getting beer drunk all day long. Yeah, I did say that. Mountains too, even though some of y'all call it the Holy Land. It's just a cooler land, that's all. But let me tell you something. Without him, what do we have to memorialize? What good is freedom in a country if we don't use it for the glory of God and good of others? So today I'd like to remind you that you make it a memorial what he did. Number one, I want you to remember his appearing. A lot of people have forgotten. He came. Look at verse 16 again. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." That word manifest means shown forth, shown, displayed. It was manifested. God manifested. He showed himself in flesh. He came down and took on the form of a man. And in the flesh of a man, he was the God-man. He lived the sinless life we can't live. And he died the sinner's death that we ought to die, because he was God in the flesh. You and the Doobie Brothers might sing, "Jesus is all right with me," but I sing, "Jesus is everything to me." Amen. 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 You and Norman Greenbaum might sing the Spirit in the Sky, but he came down and became God in the flesh. Amen. Let me. And I don't know new songs. That's why I don't quote them. If you'll tell me some, I'll quote them. Okay. But let me tell you something. Jesus left his glory and came down here and took on the form of a servant to live that holy life we can't live. and to die in unholy people's places so that we could be declared holy by God Himself who came down and took on the form of a servant. We need to remember that. He's not the old man upstairs. And that is so disrespectful to say that. I was raised in a godless home, didn't get saved until I was 23 years old. I said a lot of stupid stuff like that. But as a Christian, I've never said anything like that. He's not the old man upstairs. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And let me tell you something else, too. A lot of people say, well, me and Jesus, we got this thing going. You got nothing going. He's God. God doesn't make deals. God says it. That settles it, whether you like it or believe it or not. I saw a bumper sticker one day. It said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, whether you believe it or not, it's still settled. He's God. Amen. We don't need you in the program. We've got Him. Amen. Yes, amen. Some people think, well, I got to go to the Pope and get forgiven. No hope in the Pope. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther called Him the Antichrist. Amen. Let me tell you something. God shown Himself in the flesh in the body of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we should never forget that. And don't use His name for a cuss word. Amen. Somebody say amen. Don't use His name for a cuss word. Amen. He's not anybody to be cursed. He's somebody to be praised. He manifested Himself in the flesh. We need to remember His appearance. You see, a lot of folks have forgotten that He came down to the earth and walked the earth and lived that sinless, perfect life in a body, in the flesh. And a lot of people have forgotten that. And they put Him on a statue or they've hung Him on a cross and there He hangs. No, sir. No, sir. He came down and lived and died. And He came to a land that hated Him. They hated Him. He told His disciples, He said, it's no marvel that they hate you. They hated me too. It's no marvel that they persecute you. They persecuted me too. Why does the church today think that the whole world is supposed to like them?
Come on now.
Here's my question, Brother Everett. Who told them such a lie as that? If you love Jesus Christ, the world is not going to love you. I didn't like the church before I got saved. I went in there nervous and agitated. I didn't like their songs. I didn't like the preaching. I didn't like the testifying. Every bit of it rubbed me the wrong way. I hated it. I only went to get people off my back the first few times till God the Holy Ghost got in on it. Then He started drawing me. Then He started drawing me. I couldn't help it then. He started drawing me to the Savior. But even though back in our day, Brother Ron, we respected Christians. We respected the church, but we really didn't like them. We didn't invite them to our parties. They throw a cold rag on it, amen? Or as we used to say, they kill our buzz. We didn't want them people around there. Get out of here. Who told you to come in here, amen? Because they represented Jesus Christ in the flesh. They hated Him. Why do you think that they're going to love you, the world, the people of this world? Because when He came down, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
Yep. And I and the Father are one. He said, if you heard me, you heard the Father. I speak His words. And they hated that. Now, they don't hate that little effeminate, blue-eyed, long-haired, hippie-looking thing you got hanging on your wall at the house. Or that dead one you got still hanging on a cross somewhere. But the living God in the living flesh, Jesus Christ, they hate Him and they still hate Him. He laid aside His position. Go read Colossians 1. He's Creator of the universe. It says, by Him all things were created and by Him all things consist. It's still here because of Him. He's the Creator of the universe. He spoke it, and there it was. And He laid that aside. He laid aside His royalty. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And He took that and He laid it aside. And he took on himself the form of a servant. And we need to remember that. This new TV Pentecostal crowd's got the idea that we can just say Jesus and the whole world will fall apart. I got news for you. They hate Him. If you represent Him, they'll hate you. And we need to remember that. We shouldn't be trying to please the world, entertain the world, or even compromise with the world. Just talk about the God that became flesh and dwell among us. And hey, it'll separate the sheep from the goats. We need to remember His appearing. And then look at that again in verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. Look at it again. He was justified in the Spirit. He was justified in the Spirit. He'd have seen of angels. He preached unto the Gentiles. You know what it's saying? He had perfect service. Everything he did was justified. Everything he did was complete and perfect. Look at it again. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. We need to remember His accomplishments. He did some things. Y'all still with me? Did I read it right? Hold on. He did some things. He didn't just come down here and walk around with a bunch of people. He did some things. And everything he did was right. Everything he did was right. And then not only that, listen, he was powerful in what he did. Every bit of it. We need to remember that he didn't come down here just to be a man pleaser. He came down here to do the work of God. And you and I, we try to do it and we fail so miserably. But everything he did was perfect. They found no fault in him. No fault in his preaching. No fault in his teaching. No fault in his finished work. Not one bit. Then I want you to notice this. Look at that verse again, the last part. Received up into glory. You see that? We need to remember his ascension, his going up. Look here. If he had come and preached and did great things and died, he would have just been a man. But ascending up into glory proved he was the God-man. Ascending up into glory proved that he had the power to raise a dead body and lift it up into glory and sit on the right hand of the Father. I'm afraid a lot of Christians are so busy looking at what he's doing right now, they forgot where he's sitting right now. He and the Father are one. They're co-equal. And he ascended back up to the Father. He told Mary that day of the resurrection, she came running out there and he said, "Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended to my Father." He took that holy blood up to glory and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat so that we could be saved. Amen. Then he came back down and he preached. And let me tell you something else. After preaching, he ascended back to glory to stay until he comes back in all his glory. Amen. You know, a lot of people, they act like we got a dead Savior. They wear him around their neck. They wear him on their ears. They wear him on bracelets. They make pictures of him. By the way, that picture becomes an idol if you don't watch out. And nobody knows. And by the way, they didn't have no cameras. No artist painted a picture of him. I can tell you he was a Jew. His mother was. I can tell you he had Jewish complexion, Jewish hair, Jewish eyes. So he probably, most certainly looked nothing like the pictures we see now.
Amen.
Amen. I can tell you he was not effeminate. So I doubt if he had that old long, pretty blonde hair. I can tell you this, when he spoke, people said, never a man spake like this. He spoke with authority, lived with authority, and then he went up to sit on the right hand of the Father to take back his place of authority. And then we'll remember his return. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Y'all still with me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Now I said, as believers, every Sunday should be Memorial Day. Every Sunday should be Memorial Day. We'll remember his appearing. We'll remember what he accomplished. We'll remember him ascending back up to heaven. But don't let us ever forget verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We need to always, you listen to me, remember his return. Because see, his return culminates all this stuff. It ends it. It brings it to a climax. He came down as a suffering servant. He lived as the sinless Savior. He died in the place of others. He rose back up to the Father to sit on the right hand of the Father because the payment was paid for our sins. And now He sits there interceding for us. He's praying for us right now. But one day, the Father's going to say, go get my children. And he's going to stand up, he's putting the robes back on, and he's going to wear a sash, and his robe's going to be dipped in blood, his own. And that sash is going to say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's coming back in all his glory. And the Bible says, those that hated him and killed him will see him. I said, go ahead, devil. You have your day today because our day's coming. Amen. He's coming back in all his glory. I'm sure the devil didn't like his appearing. And I'm sure the devil didn't like his accomplishments. But when he went back up, when he got buried, the devil liked that. And then when he rose from the dead, I'm sure the devil didn't like that. But then he ascended up to glory. And at least he's not down here bodily. And I think the devil enjoys that, don't you? But one day he's coming back in that glorified body. Amen. Not a servant, no sir, no, not a sufferer, no sufferer. He's coming as ruler. And the Bible says he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. Amen? And it says those of us who are believers will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And with the rod of iron, by the way, Joel, your little pussyfooting preaching, you women preachers on television, you compromising, backstabbing, back scratching, panty waist, nickel nipping, penny pinching preachers. He's coming back in all his glory and all his honor. And hey, I don't know how they're going to take up offerings on television no more. He's going to ruin all of that preaching. Amen. I remember Aubrey B. Green said one time, he said a little Bible knowledge will ruin a whole lot of good preaching. Amen. And listen, he's going to come back. We need to remember that. And listen, we're supposed to be about the Father's business, declaring these things. He said, go into all the world and preach this.
That's right.
We've dumbed it down.
Yeah.
We've feminized him. We have, I don't know what I want to say about what they've done to him. Whatever happened, we're talking about John the Baptist in Sunday school. Whatever happened to the old fiery, leather lung preacher that stand up and cry aloud and spare not? Amen. What happened to the Pauls that would put the religious crowd in place? Amen. Whatever happened to those preachers? I'll tell you what happened. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's what's happened to them. Amen. Now, we all remember great Americans. I thank God. I'd never been to the military. When I was I was 18. When I turned 18, the Vietnam War was winding down. They were still taking names for the draft. I went and signed up. It would have killed me if they had done it. You know, I was so rebellious. Basic training, they would have killed me, Brother Danny. You still with me? Somebody punch him back there. They'd have killed me in basic training. First thing they'd done was cut off that pretty hair I had. And but let me tell you something. I now honor those men. I was a stinking rebel then. I didn't honor nobody. But now I look back at those people, I said, those were great Americans. I don't care if you went there and peeled potatoes. If you went, you were a great American. Is that what you did, Danny Pilgrim? I don't care if you went and washed dishes. You were a great American now for me to look at. We'll honor those people. We'll teach our children, our grandchildren to honor those people. The George Washingtons. The Andrew Jacksons. Don't you get in this political correct crowd that said they were all racist and homophobes and all. They were great Americans. You wouldn't be here today. They were great Americans with flaws, just like you have.
Yes,
amen. Amen. And by the way, that one carrying that rainbow flag's got some flaws too. They're evident. Amen. But let me tell you something. These were great Americans, and they did great things, and thank God for them. And I'll sing God Bless America every chance I get. But on the other hand, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's been some great believers, Brother Ron. And you hear these liars and crooks and hypocrites say the church has been the biggest problem in the world. That's what those new leftist political people are saying. The church caused all the wars, and the church caused all the racism. The church caused anti-feminists and all this stuff. But I got news for you. The church is the ones that built the first hospitals. The church is the ones that built the first orphanages. The church is the first ones that had soup lines. The church is the first ones that served those in battle. I got news for you. You need to quit listening to that stuff. We sing that song, Give Me That Old Time Religion. And then we sing, It Was Good Enough for My Father. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for my mother and my father. It's good enough. But let me tell you something. That's the truth. But preacher, that's not popular. It never has been popular. By the way, Memorial Day is not popular anymore either. In some places, it would be, you'd be persecuted for celebrating. We're going to see these coming elections, who's real and who ain't.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It's going to be one unlike we've ever had in the history of this nation. And it all started because of Christians and churches that do not memorialize the Lord Jesus Christ. They have become political machines and politicians. I love my country. I vote. But the day that Sunday will be taken up here by a politician, I'll be done gone to glory. You'll have to kill me one. Won't be no politicians here. This ain't for politicians. This is for preaching. Now, they can stand outside and talk all they want to, but no politicians stand. This is not a political machine. This is the body of Christ. And we're going to remember him and his work and what he said to do. And let the world do whatever they want to, Brother Ron. And by the way, when the call is put out for somebody to fight for freedom, Christian men are the first ones to go. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the church. I'm not ashamed to believe in the Bible, word for word. Every jot and tittle. Amen. Amen. And look, when he comes back, and the Bible says you better watch out lest ye be ashamed when he comes. I'm not going to be ashamed when he comes. I'm looking for it. I hope he comes today. If he does, my keys are in there. Go get my car. You can have my house. Amen. I got some money hid in a drawer. You can have it. They won't let you have that at the bank. I'm sorry, but you can have it. It's yours. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm not hobnobbing with the world or apologizing for any of that. I'm going to remember that every day of my life. It's going to be a memorial. You know what I'm going to do every Sunday? I'm going to get up and go to church. Why? As a memorial to every bit of that. Forsake not the assembling thyself together, as the manner of some is, even so much the more so as you see that day approaching. Thank you, brother. I'm glad I got one cheerleader. Amen. How about you? You say, well, I believe in Memorial Day and those that died. I do too. Thank God for them. God bless America. But I also honor those that died for what I believe too. And I'm also, look, I want to memorialize Jesus Christ every day of my life. And I'm going to go to church on Sunday so the world can say, his car ain't there on Sunday, it's over there at the church. Somebody told me the other day, his neighbor asked him why his car was home on Wednesdays. What does your neighbor think on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Amen. Listen, today's Memorial Day, thank God. Thank God for those of you, we'll get to veterans later, that did serve. But what greater price can a man give than lay down his life? Some women too. And God, the God of glory, came down here, was manifested, walked in the flesh, lived a sinless life, laid down his life for his friends, rose again the third day, sits on the right hand of the Father, coming back in all his glory. Never let us forget. Now, the question is this. And it's 1 minute after 12. The method's already out and I'm through. The question is this. Is that a memorial to you? I think Tracy will eventually lay my mama's headstone. Have they got it yet, Tracy? It's ordered. That headstone's a memorial to a woman that was born in 1919. And died last year. I want it. You don't know how hard I've had to work to get that thing put there. But I want that so nobody will ever forget who's laying there. I memorialize my mama. And that flag right there, I honor that. And that memorializes a lot of other people. And I honor this because it memorializes him. And I don't care who likes it. I really don't. I done got too old to worry about that stuff. I don't care who that offends. I just care about who it pleases. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, you may not know him. If you don't know him, then you can't honor him. Matter of fact, if you've never received him, you're calling him a liar. You're saying, this is not true, I don't need it. Then he lied. And why would you remember a man that lied? But hey, listen, if you'd like to get saved, you could be a memorial. The Bible says we're all walking memorials, every one of us. What was that old saying? The greatest Bible they'll ever read is your life. Your memorial, your memorial, your memorial. And every time somebody sees you, they'll remember him. That's an honor. That's an honor. Now, if you don't know him today, we'd like to get you in the family. We'd like to see you. Hey, simply as ABC, admit you're a sinner. And anybody ought to be able to admit that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is sinners. There's saved sinners and lost sinners. Amen? Well, I don't sin anymore. You just did. You lied. Number two. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, believe means put it all on him. Trust him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. ABC. It's simple to be saved. Jesus said, except you become as a little child. Ain't that like a little child? ABCD. Except you become as a little child, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you're not saved today, why don't you humble yourself? We're going to sing in just a minute. And I want you to walk down this aisle. We'll take you by the hand. We'll get somebody to take you through three or four scriptures. And we'll pray with you. And the Lord will give you the faith to be saved. You don't have it now, but he'll give it to you. And then for those of you who are saved, how's your memorial looking? You. How's it looking? When the world looks at you, do they see Christ in you, the hope of glory? Or is it a memorial to something or somebody else? Think about it, Christian. Sister Linda's not ashamed of her daddy. She's 1 year old. 1 year old. And gave her daddy. She's not ashamed of that. Wilt not be ashamed of the gospel. He gave his life. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God.